Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Extra, brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/serotalk to download your free audiobook. February marks the beginning of the legislative season for both the National Federation of the Blind as well as the American Council of the Blind, and we had the opportunity to sit down with representatives from both organizations to learn more about their legislative priorities in this congressional session. I am Joe Orozco, and I'm joined here by Lane Amaril. Lane, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Joe.
And we both had the opportunity to meet with a representative from both the National Federation of the Blind, NFB, and American Council of the Blind, ACB. And we'll start with my interview with Rose Sloan, who is a government affairs specialist at the National Federation of the Blind. And here is that interview. All right, Rose, well, thank you for being with us this evening. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Okay, so you guys just had your Washington seminar back in late January. What kind of success did you guys see that week?
So during the last week of January, 500 blind Americans came to Washington, D.C., and we advocated for three specific legislative initiatives. The first is the Transitioning to Integrated and Meaningful Employment Act. The second is the Technology, Education, and Accessibility in College and Higher Education Act. And the final is the Marrakesh Treaty.
Okay.
We had some great success in Washington, D.C. As of today, the TIME Act has 16 co-sponsors, and we gained a lot of interest on the Teach Bill and the Marrakesh Treaty. Unfortunately, those last two priorities do not yet have bills introduced, but we were very excited about the opportunity to educate all the members of Congress on all three of these very important issues to blind Americans.
Fantastic. So I'm hoping that we can break in that a little bit for the people that may not be familiar with the issues. So the TIME Act, I guess you called it.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that one?
Sure. So actually, we refer to it as the Transitioning to Integrated and Meaningful Employment Act, or the TIME Act. We make it very clear that although this bill has to do with the Fair Labor Standards Act, and the Fair Labor Standards Act does set the minimum wage, this particular bill simply will repeal Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act. And under Section 14C, entities can apply for special wage certificates. And with these certificates, they can then pay people with disabilities less than the minimum wage. So what this bill is saying is that if there is a minimum wage at all people with disabilities, all people should get at least this minimum wage. We are simply taking away the exemption for entities to pay people with disabilities less than the minimum wage.
Interesting. It's interesting that in 2015, there are people who still paid less than minimum wage.
Absolutely. It horrifies me. I've seen the documents. An entity only has to apply for the special wage certificate with a two-page form, and then they can pay a person with disability literally $0.00 an hour. I have seen it with my own eyes that this is happening. And it can be any disability. So I know people who are blind and they are being paid less than the minimum wage. For example, my friend, her name is Sheila. She's from the state of Montana, and Goodwill paid her somewhere $3 and change. And then they were going to reduce her wage to under $3. And this woman, I'm telling you, she is very bright. She is articulate. She has a bachelor's degree, and yet she was being paid less than the minimum wage to the point where she decided to quit her job because it cost her more to travel to her job every day than what she was actually being paid.
So Technology, Education, and Accessibility in College and Higher Education Act. What's the story with that?
Sure. So this particular bill is, as you can tell from the title, very near and dear to any college student who might be out there. Right now, under Section 504 of the Rehab Act and Titles 2 and 3 of the ADA, that's the Americans with Disabilities Act, schools are required to provide accessible materials to their students. However, they don't know what accessibility actually looks like. So the current system allows the schools to sort of do it on an ad hoc basis. And that's not very helpful to the student because a lot of times there's delays in getting the materials. So an example of accommodation right now is that they might scan a student's book, and that's totally legal and fine, but it takes a long time to do that. The big problem is that technology is not accessible. So for example, some of the course websites that a student might use in order to check their grades or to take online quizzes, many of the e-readers, technology can be made accessible, but because colleges aren't necessarily aware of what an accessible product looks like, they're not demanding them from the market currently. And what the Teach Act will do is provide accessibility guidelines that are voluntary so that the schools know what accessibility looks like. And as long as they're following these guidelines, they'll be in compliance with the Rehab Act and the ADA. However, it goes one step further and it allows the schools, if they want to be innovative, they can be. We're not going to tell them to stop being innovative. So this will really solve a lot of the accessibility problems that students in college and universities face on a day-to-day basis.
So finally, you have the Marrakesh Treaty. It has a rather long name to it, but what is at the center of this issue?
Sure. So as you may have noticed, there are not that many Braille books out there in the world right now. And the same goes for audio and large print books. And what the Marrakesh Treaty will do is it will allow countries to trade accessible format books with each other. Currently, it's not legal to do that with the Marrakesh Treaty. That will become legal. The four things that the Marrakesh Treaty does is it allows entities, authorized entities, to reproduce works. So what I mean by that is they can scan a regular font book and make it into large print, into audio, into Braille. Then it allows entities that are authorized to distribute these accessible formats. And finally, it allows countries to export and import these materials. So in America right now, we have the Chafee Amendment. So it's already legal for us to reproduce and distribute accessible format copies of books, but currently we can't import and export. And this is really key because if we were allowed to import and export, we could gain so many more books, especially in foreign languages. It's very hard to come across a book in Spanish or French, let's say, in Braille, but if we could trade with Spain or Paraguay or France, then we would have a lot more access to these types of things.
No, this doesn't apply just to educational textbooks, right? This is any book?
Yeah, any published work.
Okay. Well, fantastic. So let me ask you a few questions, if I may. What's the greatest obstacle to getting these bills passed?
So the biggest obstacle for the Transitioning to Integrated and Meaningful Employment Act is that society in general usually doesn't believe in the capacity of people with disabilities to work. There's this false assumption, there's this negative stigma that we, people with disabilities, are inherently unable to work. But that is false. We know that is false. We know that with the reasonable accommodations, with the right training and support, people with disabilities, any disability, can obtain a job that pays them at least the minimum wage. That is one of the biggest hurdles. Another hurdle for that particular bill is the entities that currently hold the 14C certificates don't want to change.
Right.
So, for example, the Goodwill. Exactly. So the Teach Act and the Marrakesh Treaty, we really don't anticipate any obstacles in getting these bills passed. In fact, the National Federation of the Blind is in communication with the higher education lobby to ensure that they are on board with the Teach Act. And that's why we haven't had the Teach Act dropped just quite yet. But once we get the schools on board, we imagine this bill is going to sail right through. We already have our sponsors in place and ready to go as soon as the schools are on board. And with the Marrakesh Treaty, we're simply waiting on the administration to send over the ratification package to the Senate. We have not heard of anyone in opposition to the Marrakesh Treaty, and there are so many benefits to blind people with this treaty that, again, we think it's just going to sail right through.
Okay. So that was Washington Seminar. It sounds like it was a great turnout, as usual. But for the person listening at home, what's the best thing you can suggest for them to get involved and get the word out?
So the best thing I can possibly imagine for anyone to do is, if, especially if one of these issues resonates with you, if you were a person who was paid sub-minimum wages, or someone in your family or one of your friends were paid sub-minimum wage simply because they're a person with disability, let that be known. You know, go to the media, write your member of Congress perhaps, and tell them, look, this was really unfair. Explain to them the struggle they're either facing now because they're in that situation, or explain the potential they have if they're no longer in that situation. For the TEACH Act, if you're a student and you've experienced, I'm going to say it, flat out discrimination in your education because you did not get your materials in a timely fashion, or you were unable to access something because of barriers in technology, again, let your story be heard. And the same, you know, all of us, we want access to books. We want to be able to read, you know, something in Spanish or French or even in English that may have been published in the UK, let's say, but we simply don't have access to it because we cannot import and export accessible materials. That doesn't seem fair. So again, what I'm encouraging you to do is just speak out about your experiences.
Very good. And I know that last year, at least, you guys had Twitter campaigns and calling campaigns for people to call their congressperson. So those, I'm assuming, would be publicized through NFB channels for people to find out about and participate in?
Oh, absolutely. We have, you know, listservs that you can join to stay up to date on these things. You can go to our website, which is www.nfb.org. There's lots of ways. Social media is huge. We use the hashtag Fair Wages for the Time Act. We're also using the hashtag just Time Act. For TEACH Act, we're also doing hashtag TEACH Act, so that's a really good way to stay involved as well. And I also wanted to add one more thing. You know, when you're thinking about these issues, really think about not just yourselves and your family and your friends, but really think of future generations. Think about your kids or your nieces and nephews or your students out there who are really going to benefit if these types of initiatives get through Congress. I would never want to see anyone be paid a sub-minimum wage, and I would never want to see a student struggle in college simply because they did not have timely access to their materials. And the sighted community has access to so many books, and just because we're blind, we are not able to access the books. That doesn't seem fair, and I don't want to see that happen to future generations either.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, and we'll certainly put up the links to the various fact pages on our show notes, and we will encourage the community to get their support behind you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Rose, for that opportunity to get to know a little bit more about the NFB's priorities. And Lane, you had the opportunity to meet with ACB.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to meet with Eric Bridges, the Director of External Relations and Policy with the American Council of the Blind. It was a pleasure to get to speak with him, and here is our conversation. Well, Eric, thank you for joining us. At the time of this recording, the ACB is getting ready to jump into the legislative seminar. In a nutshell, could you tell us what the legislative seminar is?
Sure. So, and I appreciate you having me on. It's really a two-day event. The first day is really about education and training and awareness of the issues that ACB is going to be taking to Capitol Hill, and along with some other issues that we feel like the participants should be made aware of, that, you know, issues that may be more regulatory in nature or other things that are sort of maturing that haven't yet made it to the level of being what we classify as a legislative imperative, which is an issue that we take to members of Congress. And then the second day is when our participants actually go up to Capitol Hill, meet with their legislators and or staff to talk about those issues. So that's really what it is. It's a chance to educate, to train, and to network and, you know, develop camaraderie.
Great. And I understand you have two issues. What are those issues this year that the council...
Actually, we have three.
Okay.
So the three issues that we have, two of them are the same as last year, because neither of them were enacted through, you know, bill signing and stuff like that. So one is H.R. 729, which is a bill that would seek to cover certain low vision devices under Medicare through a five-year national demonstration project. What we would want to see happen is the most function-rich and powerful devices, low vision devices, be covered under Medicare to enable individuals to, obviously, as their vision changes, to be able to have those devices to allow them to remain independent and in their own homes and less reliant upon others. So that is one issue. Another issue is the Alice Cogswell and Ann Sullivan Macy Act, which is a piece of special education legislation that deals with really kindergarten through 12th grade kids who are blind, visually impaired, and also kids who are deaf and hard of hearing. It's a collaboration between the blind community and the deaf and hard of hearing community, and also the deaf-blind community is involved with this as well. And it speaks to a myriad of different issues pertaining to how kids are being taught in the school system, what sorts of education they're receiving from what we call expanded core curriculum, which deals a lot with stuff like orientation mobility instruction, as well as other independent living type skills, so that as kids graduate and go out off to their lives, whether it be college or something else, they have these skills along with the academic prowess in order to be able to succeed. So it's a pretty comprehensive bill, because it also takes a look at how the Department of Education and also the states are tracking our kids through the process, because oftentimes kids who are blind have other disabilities, but the blindness may not be the box that's ultimately checked by the school or the school district. And so the kid, while maybe having a physical disability or a developmental disability, also has significant vision loss, and that vision loss component is not being addressed. And so we want to make sure that those kids are being covered adequately and receiving the necessary training as kids with vision loss. The third issue is the Marrakesh Treaty for individuals who are with print disabilities. It's commonly known as the Treaty for the Visually Impaired. And this is a United Nations treaty that ACB worked on over the last 5 years in negotiations in Geneva, Switzerland. And this really is a treaty that looks at how blind and print disabled individuals around the world are getting materials in accessible formats, and really how an overwhelming majority of the publications and books out in the world are not either A, accessible in an alternate format, or B, those that are, oftentimes because of the lack of copyright law in countries, they're not able to share. So a country like Nicaragua, Spanish-speaking country, and a country like Spain, also, but much larger, and has a much larger library, Spain's not able to share with Nicaragua their books. And likewise in English-speaking countries and other situations like that. So this treaty seeks to increase the ability of being able to share across borders, materials, and it's a treaty that the U.S. has signed but has to ratify through the U.S. Senate. And we are expecting that the Obama administration will be sending over their package with this treaty in the coming weeks or next couple months. So that's an issue that our folks are going to be talking about as well when they go to Capitol Hill.
Excellent. Thank you so much for sharing three different issues. And I'm just wondering, what are some of the biggest hurdles that you foresee in getting these legislative items introduced and passed. And I understand H.R. 729 will then be going to the Senate. So what hurdles do you foresee facing there?
Well, hurdles, one of the biggest hurdles that any legislation has is visibility, right? It's, you know, getting our issues out there and having them stay out there and making Congress not just aware, but having them, individual members or senators, champion the issues. And so blindness issues generally aren't passed through the legislative process and signed into law the first time or two that a bill is introduced. It generally takes a while. So time can be our friend, and it also can be a challenge. But nothing ever worth having is ever easy, seemingly. So that's one component of it. Some of this is also dealing with just timing. The Marrakesh Treaty is something that we feel like can get ratified. It's more clearly defined, the population that's going to benefit from this, than the Convention on the Rights for Persons with Disabilities was, which we think, you know, obviously ACB supported the CRPD, but we feel like this is a more narrow, more focused treaty that has a better chance. Now, it all depends upon the RUDS package, the resolutions, understandings, and declarations. I'm sorry, the reservations, understandings, and declarations, which is essentially the package that the treaty is in, and legislative text for more or less, what that contains in there. And, you know, the Medicare issue is one that, you know, entitlement reform is something that is going to be raised, but, you know, it's how we can position this, you know, what is ostensibly a national demonstration project to fit in the context of some level of entitlement reform over the next 2 years or so. So there's always lots of challenges, but it's fun. It's fun to go and fun to talk about this stuff, and it's great to be able to educate our members on these issues.
Speaking of education, especially of members and the blindness community, where can people go to get more information on these three issues?
Sure. You can go to acb.org to get more information on these issues. You can also go to our Facebook page, and that is American Council of the Blind Official. You can also follow us on Twitter at ACB National.
Fantastic. Thank you. And to take that one step further from educating the members and the blindness community, what can people at home do right now to get involved and to help further these objectives?
Sure. So one of the things that they can do is reach out to their members of Congress at home. Every member of Congress and senator has at least one district office in their state. And being able to set up an appointment with their staff or with the member when they're back during district work periods is a great way to introduce yourself as a constituent and introduce an issue or two or however many you feel are important. In some cases, it may be a local issue pertaining to pedestrian rights of way or other issues that impact blind people, but getting in front of them, introducing yourself, introducing the issues, and developing a relationship with the office. That's a really important, basic, but all too forgotten way of being able to influence members of Congress. They work for you. You don't work for them.
All right. Eric, thank you for your time. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let's say, unless Joe has come up with something else, that wraps it up for me.
Absolutely. You know, most of the time we talk about mainstream technology, the Apple, Android, and who's buying out who and what's coming out when, but these are issues that help us get a little bit closer to that technology. As we discussed in our last episode with Lane regarding Google Apps, for example, that's something that's finding its way into more schools. And something like the TEACH Act, for example, is something that would have some bearing on this, because I don't think it's unforeseeable for Google to one day decide it's going to get into the publishing of textbooks.
I agree. And I see technology run through really all five issues that are brought forth by both organizations. HR 729 includes gaining access to print material through the use of video magnifiers and other lens items that were previously kind of discontinued from Medicare coverage. And Sullivan-Macy Act, you know, that will include providing technology training to not only the students, but to the teachers of the visually impaired who are regularly working with these guys and making sure they're up to date. So I see that in all five issues.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, you know, that if you're sitting here listening and you don't belong to either NFB or ACB, with something like fair wages, I mean, that's something that's affecting everyone. You know, that's not an organization-specific issue, nor is it just a blindness thing. You know, it's a cross-disability problem that still exists. It's 2015, and there are people who are still not getting paid minimum wage, and that seems, you know, it seems wrong. So it's something that we hope, you know, by bringing it to our platform and making you aware of it via our channels, that, you know, you'll consider when you see these announcements from these organizations encouraging you to tweet your congressional office or visit them or just pick up the phone, you know, and say, hey, you know, this is kind of important. Please get behind it. And my suggestion is, you know, if you don't want to get involved in all three or speak to all five, whatever, pick the issue that most resonates with you and run with it.
Well, it's got to happen all year, too. It can't just happen in February. We'll get forgotten in these legislators' busy lives.
Thank you, Lane. And that's going to do it for us. If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions for future interviews, please email us, resources@cerotalk.com, tweet them at Cerotalk, or use your iBlink Radio apps to send us an iReport. I want to thank the folks over at Audible once again for sponsoring this episode, as well as the Cerotech Corporation for making this all possible. The audio engineer behind today's episode was Patrick Perdue. And I'm Joe Orozco. We'll see you again with the full team on Cerotalk 224. Thank you for listening.